Well, good morning. Well, good morning. There you go. Yeah. It's so good to see all of you here. And I know we've got people here. Maybe you're here for the very first time. Maybe you're one of our partners and we got to rub shoulders and work with you at some level yesterday. Or maybe you're just a guest visiting here. Or maybe like this is your church home. Either way, I'm just glad that you're all here. And I want to take some time and just kind of talk about a little bit of this whole thing that we walked through yesterday in one way or another, because there are just some things to reflect on and some things to celebrate. And I want us to just ponder a part of this at a little deeper level, just from the standpoint that I think there was something that was reflected in what happened yesterday that wasn't just about yesterday. It's about who you all are as a church. It is about what some of you as our partners that are doing so much in this city are doing at a deep level. And part of it, and here's where I want to come at this. You know, there is a value of Christ that is reflected in and through all that touched yesterday and what goes on in our city, like on a regular basis through some of you that do such a beautiful job of loving on people. Period, right? And that's the value. There's this value that you see with Christ about loving people, period, right? It's just this beautiful thing. And I want to look at it from something that Jesus actually taught, because I think there's some things that will just help us reflect and ponder it and think about it a little bit here. And, you know, Jesus would have this way of telling stories or using metaphors. Sometimes he would say something just flat out or direct, but oftentimes he would say things through a kind of story. We're going to look at this short little story. Won't take long, but it causes you to look at it differently and ask questions and kind of roll through the plot, so to speak, as the story unfolds. And this one that we're going to look at is about this king that just wants to just lavish this kind of inheritance or these wonderful things on this group of people. And it's through this story that we actually see some things about love that I think are really, really important. So I'm going to read part of this, and we'll put the verses up on the screen, or you can look in your Bible either way. But there's this king, and he's got this group of people off to his right here. And it says this: "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed by my father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.'" Right? Wow. Like, it's like, what did that group of people do? Like, it's just like there's some value that he wants to point to in all of this. And so it goes on in verse 35, and it says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat." Think about this group hearing this, right? So, wow, like there's something that's really important to him. He notices. "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me," right? And what he's basically saying here is, you loved on me. You saw me. I mattered to you. When I was thirsty, you saw that and you gave me something to drink. You, like, I was alone and you came alongside me. Like, he's just saying, I'm grateful for the way you loved me in this. And the thing that we're going to see in this, and if you already know the story, the weird thing in this is the people that he's talking about in this moment, they're like, what? Like we don't remember really doing that. And the story continues to unfold. Look at how they talk to this or speak to this. Verse 37. Again, it's this group of people. "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you?'" Right? He's like, because in the story, it's like you're the king or the prince or whatever it is. Like, you would never be hungry in this, or thirsty and give you something to drink. When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" Right? We don't know. Like this, like I just, like, you know, I don't remember actually doing this. And this is the part that actually begins right where God's going to say, I want you to see my heart in this moment. This is the point where Jesus would tell these little stories like this, and there would be a twist. And in the twist of the story, that's like That's where the point is made. That's where he drives this thing home, right? So he's unfolding this little bitty story, and they're sitting there going, like, when did we ever do this? And here's kind of the punchline, the twist of the story. Verse 40, it says this. The king replied, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Isn't that great? He's like, yeah, you actually did it for me. Because there was a time when there was someone that mattered to me, and they were hungry. And when you fed them, like, that meant more to me. It meant as much as if you would have fed me in that moment. The way you loved that person who was alone, the way you loved that person that was sick or in need, like that. And here's the point I'd make out of this. In a way, what Jesus is saying is, I love that you love people. That's what I love. I love it when you just love people. Like, that's the story. That's the punchline. That's his heart that just comes out in this moment, in this. And so I think about those of you who are here this morning that are our partners that we got to serve alongside of. And I think about what you do week in and week out. I think about all of you that showed up yesterday that are a part of CASAS. I think about all of you that maybe you didn't have the opportunity to do something yesterday, but you've done things in the past, multiple things in the past. Like, I think about you as a church, and that's the punchline. Love people. Period, right? It's this beautiful thing. Now, for fear of just having a sermon go too short and having you all, struggle with deep disappointment, let me make a few observations about this love, right? Yeah, you weren't gonna get off that easy, right? Let me make a few observations that I actually think are worth pondering, are actually worth celebrating, looking at, and thinking about here. And again, I say this, whether you're one of our partners in the city, or whether this is your first time you're just visiting here, or whether this is your church at home. Let me give you three fairly quick observations in this. One is, love is practical, right? What Jesus points out in that story is love doesn't have to be this massive theoretical, theological. It's like, you're just loving on people that are hungry. You're taking care of basic needs. You're just seeing people in some unique way. It's just this simple, beautiful thing. And I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine, like, what went on yesterday, or even in the weeks or months before. But I even think about yesterday. I know some of you, like, were serving, like, with Primavera. How many of you did anything with Primavera, or anything with food, or, like, I know some of you are preparing meals and feeding. Okay. Like, so I want you to think about this, right? In the most practical way, there's going to be, because some of you were preparing meals that were going to be given away later. And maybe one of those meals went to someone today. Maybe tomorrow morning, there's going to be someone that was homeless, or someone that is, right, their child is just getting out of the hospital, and they've been through a whirlwind, and now they're loading up their child, they're out of the hospital, and they're on their way home, and someone is gonna hand them a meal and say, "We see you, and we know you've got really important things with your family you're trying to take care of, and we just wanna love on you a little bit, even if it's just provide. You don't have to worry about the next meal you're gonna eat. Here you go." It's that simple. It's like loving people in this beautiful way. Think about this. Think about someone who was in another country, maybe, I don't know, a month ago, 6 months ago, 2-3 years ago. And maybe even it was someone that was serving alongside other Americans, or an American agency, or our government in some way. And things shifted in that country, and suddenly their life is in danger. And they've got to flee. And they end up right here in Tucson, Arizona. And they got uprooted and planted in another country and another culture. They don't speak the language. They don't understand all the things. And it doesn't matter what their education was back there. It doesn't matter if they were a doctor, if they were a business person. Like, they're starting over from scratch when they get here. And what if And this is true for many of them, right? They're walking sometimes for hours every single day because that's the only way they have to get to a job. And it's whatever job they can work. And maybe tomorrow or next week, one of those refugees is going to have someone from Tucson that's a part of the refugee ministry here in Tucson that we partnered with. And they're going to say, would a bike make a difference? And they're going to hand them a bike. And that bike, it's going to be huge. It's going to open them up to the possibilities of working to other places. Instead of spending hours every day walking to and from work, there, it becomes minutes. Like and here's the thing. Love is practical. It's as practical as a meal. It's as practical as a bicycle. May is going to be here before we know it. And I know, like we know in this city, there are some high school students, right, that are going to be walking across a stage. And for some of those high school students, it might not have been that long ago. It may have been a year ago, 2 years ago, that the circumstances of their lives changed in such a way that they became a young person in our city that was pretty much all on their own. Even trying to figure out where they were going to live or how to feed themselves, they were on their own. Imagine being like a young high schooler and being completely on your own. The dream of maybe walking across that stage is like, that doesn't matter right now. But there are people in our city, right, that are a part of a ministry and an agency that are saying, those youth on their own, right, we're going to help them out. We're going to encourage them. We're going to help them make sure that they've got a place to stay. We're going to help them make sure, even if it's basic toiletries or making sure they've got clothes or can get school books or whatever, there's going to be some kids this May. They're going to walk across a platform and pick up their diploma because there's people in this city that said, we're going to be there to encourage them. We're going to be there to help them out. And the dream of a high school diploma didn't die, right? They're going to go on to college or they're going to go on to a career. And some of you, like you got to work side by side with some of those people this week. Love is just, it's practical. There's something so beautiful about the practicality of love. Another observation about this love. Love sees people. It sees people. There's this kind of reverberating line in one part of this story that Jesus tells, and it's this. It's like, when did we see ... When did we see you hungry? When did we see? And it's this thing about this group of people, like they see people. Like there's this thing. They don't just, right? They're not projects. They're people. And there's something about love that never sees people as a project. They're people. And when you see them in that way, you don't do good things in the name of pity. You do it out of compassion and concern and empathy. Like there's this beautiful thing that begins to go on. One of the stories that I heard, in fact, I didn't hear it until like about 30 minutes, maybe 20 minutes before the first service, and was like, okay, this has got to go in my sermon. A story about a grandmother here in Tucson. She was actually from Wisconsin, but sleeping on an air mattress here in Tucson in some office building somewhere where, I don't know, have all the details on this, but it was some of you that were helping out with the Ronald McDonald House that ended up running into this grandmother. And here's the story. She's not sleeping on a mattress in an office someplace right now because of the Ronald McDonald House. And she flew down here because her daughter-in-law started to go, had some serious medical issues, went into premature labor like a month or two too soon, and has been in the hospital for more than a month now. But here's the thing. Her daughter-in-law and her son own a farm down in Bisbee and are trying to run a farm. And so the mom has to be in the hospital up here. Her husband and this grandmother's son, it has to stay in Bisbee and working, and they have a toddler. So the grandmother, right, came down here to watch the toddler because her son's got to keep working the farm and her daughter-in-law's in the hospital. And the Ronald McDonald House is like, okay, I see you. I see you trying. I see, guys, man, this is beautiful what you're trying to do for your family. Can we just help you out and give you a better place to stay to take care of your grandchild while you're trying to love on your own daughter or your own daughter-in-law and your son. See, and some of you went down there and partnered with the Ronald McDonald House, and you made, like, you changed, like, her life in some way because you see a person, not a project, right? And there's this beautiful thing that unfolds in this story about, it's just, and when you look at the life of Jesus, he saw people. He saw them as human beings with a sense of dignity, right? I got to experience this. I was on the Habitat for Humanity site. How many of you were at Habitat? Bunch of you, are you sore this morning from swinging a hammer? Yeah. Down at the Habitat site, I ended up getting to run into some other workers that actually have Habitat homes, that they bought a home that was a Habitat home. I got to talk to some folks that are hoping to get into one. Like, they're starting to do all the work and they're saving money and they're going through all these classes and everything, and just how excited they were. And one of the things I was struck by is I talked with each and every one of those that I was able to. One of the things I was struck by is that they would say this over and over again is this idea of there's this value with Habitat. We don't give houses away. They you will never hear them say, we give houses away, right? And maybe before this, I would have said, oh man, this is a wonderful ministry. They give houses away. And if I would have done that, I know they would have corrected me and said, no, we don't give houses away, right? Because, and this was kind of the saying that I heard over and over again, we don't give people a handout. We give them what? A hand up. And here's why. And this is what I love about it. It's really unique. They are helping them to understand the finances of what it means to own a home. They are teaching them how to maintain this home. They're putting in hundreds and hundreds of hours to help build their own home, along with people that work full-time for Habitat and work alongside people like us who would volunteer for a while in this thing. And when you hear them talking about how Habitat is giving them an opportunity to own their own lives in this way, what I saw in the eyes of all of them was this sense of dignity. Like, they weren't giving something that pitied them in a way that held them down. They were really given a hand up. And I want to say this to any of our partners here that are a part of Habitat for Humanity. There is something that you give away. There is something that you do give away. And I saw it yesterday. And it's dignity. You're giving away dignity. And man, that is a beautiful thing. And I don't want you to miss this point. When you see that kind of love, I want you to think of this. There are few things in this world that are more Christ-like than a love that gives dignity to another human being. Let me say that again. There are few things in this world that are more Christ-like than a love that gives another human being dignity. Right? When you look at the story of Jesus, he just lifted the dignity of people again and again and again. And I'm so glad that in this city, we have these partners like Habitat and ICS and Primavera and Gap and the food banks, on and on, and that they see people. And because they see people, they give dignity away. It is this beautiful thing. Okay, third observation, and it's this. Love has a cascading effect, right? And there's this kind of this interesting thing that Jesus is telling this story, and he says, yeah, it's kind of like this king or this prince, and when one of you loved someone over there, that the way you love them, it's like it cascaded. It was like you were loving me. There's this thing about this kind of love that Jesus talks about, that it just spreads. It inspires others to love other people in different ways. And it just becomes this beautiful thing. And you know, like, that's part of what Jesus hoped for when he talked about love. And you see this. I saw this yesterday again, because I spent time at the Habitat place. I saw this. I saw that there was one of the full-time workers there at Habitat was just spending some time with some of the ladies on our team. And I don't know what their exact job was, because I kind of heard about this story after the fact. But she really inspired some of our volunteers, some of us at CASAS, in a profound way. And then I learned kind of the backstory to it, that she was once a kindergarten teacher, and she could see the impact that Habitat for Humanity had, because she could see children in her kindergarten class that were struggling, and that if they could buy a home, if that family could do that, she could see how it made a difference in the lives of those kids. And part of it was because in her own neighborhood, there was like a Habitat for Humanity, a house nearby, and she watched it change their lives, saw it in those kids, so much so that she started volunteering for Habitat for Humanity. And as she started volunteering for Habitat for Humanity, she ended up going full time with Habitat for Humanity. And so then we go out there to volunteer for a day, and she's there, and it's kind of like she's loving on us because we've showed up to help with this thing. And she so inspired some of our ladies in this that they started thinking more and more about the family that would be in the house that they were working on. And remember, these families, they come in and they help work on the homes, and you know, and you're in the middle of construction, and so if you were to write something on the wall, right, other people are going to see it till that house is all finished out. And so these ladies from CASAS wrote a note to this family that was going to be someday getting this house, but next time they come to work on the house, they're going to get to see this note that the ladies wrote. And Stacy took a picture of it for me. But I want to read to you here's what they wrote on the note on the side of the wall in the house. May this home be blessed with joy, filled with love, and sheltered by peace. Here's to new beginnings and endless possibilities. Love, CASAS Church. I can't wait for that family. Yeah, I can't wait for that family to walk in there and read that note. And you have to understand, it started because there was a kindergarten teacher that saw how some people that long ago, I don't know, it could have been years or a decade ago, were helping with a Habitat home. And the way they loved somebody, they loved a family, it touched a kindergarten teacher, who turned around, and that kindergarten teacher, right, her love cascaded into volunteering for Habitat for Humanity, that then cascaded into working with them full time, that then cascaded into some ladies that were a part of CASAS, who then wrote a note that's just like, just a practical one moment of love that's gonna cascade into that family. Do you see how this works? Like, there's just a beauty in it. And the fact that we get to work with other people in our city, that we get to work with one another in this, this is a part of the beautiful thing. And so here's, I want to do this. I want to just mention our different partners here. So I want to just take a moment, because if you're one of our partners here, we want to just thank you for what you're doing in this city. So let me just mention these. We worked with the Ronald McDonald House, which of course is helping families with medical emergencies and needs. The Primavera Foundation, which helps with homeless men and helps with homelessness in general. The GAP ministry that has this amazing holistic approach to foster care and all that they do to take care of entire families. The Tucson Refugee Ministry and what they do, not just for refugees, but helping to build community and connection in our city. They're the ones that did the whole thing with the bicycles. ICS, or Interfaith Community Services, and how they work on the short-term needs of people, but at the same time, they're always working on the long-term needs for people, like lifting them up and moving them forward. Of course, Habitat for Humanity. The Catalina State Park, the group there that works on the buffalo grass there. It's interesting. We had someone on our site, and I know this happened more than once, that when they found out that we as a church were also coming alongside this thing of pulling out the buffel grass, that they were like, oh my gosh, thank you so much, because they lived in an area and they were like, I'm always worried about wildfires where I live. And it's like, your church would actually go out and care about that. And it's just, and you could just tell in a practical way, it was blessing them in some way. Ben's Bells, which is this incredible organization that does so much to just, to help bring the value of kindness into our community, into schools, into neighborhoods, all over the place. Of course, all of the senior centers that are just helping to love on and love our oldest generation. And then, of course, youth on their own. So can, on behalf of this church, if you're a part of any of those ministries, can we just take a moment right now and applaud you and say thank you for what you do? And I want you to know this, those applause that you just heard, just know that that is an encouragement to keep going. That if you're a part of one of those one of our partners or one of those agencies or ministries, we went out there and served next to you because we get that you do this on a regular basis. And there can be moments where it can feel discouraging. And there can be moments where maybe you feel like you're all alone in this. And what we would want you to know is that we are for you. And that we see and just applaud the goodness and just the beautiful, practical love that you are exhibiting to people in our city. Because it is all about just love people, period. We appreciate that. And can I say this to all of you who call Casas Church your home here? Maybe in some ways there are moments where there are small things or little things that you do. And it's like, man, it's just like a few times a year and I just go. And maybe you were in a warehouse and you didn't get to hear lots of beautiful stories. Like you were just, filling boxes with something, or you were preparing a meal in a back room and you didn't get to hear all the stories or whatever. Can I just say it matters. It matters what you do, even in little ways, because we're a part of this bigger thing. And together, what you do is gonna touch someone's life, if not yesterday, today, or next week, or next month. And there's something that you are cascading into our culture and our city that we just can't get enough of these days, right? And that is just love in this. So thank you to all of you in this. I'm gonna close this out here. And as I do, I wanna just invite you, all of you. We've got, there's some hot dogs and food prepared out there that I know you've heard about. But we've got a bunch of our partners that are out there. Go say hello to them. If you wanna know more about one of their ministries or the work that they do, go talk with them. Say some encouraging things to them and just enjoy this day. That we got to be a part of other people in our community doing something good and beautiful. And if you're a guest here this morning, right, first time or whatever, I would love to meet you. I'm going to be right over here by these high top tables, and I'd love to just welcome you this morning. I promise not to hang on to you too long, so you don't get out and get some hot dogs or whatever. But I really would. I'd love to just shake your hand here this morning. Why don't you stand, and I'll close us in prayer here this wonderful, wonderful morning. Let me pray. Father, I just pray, I just pray specifically for our partners that we have some terrific people and we have some terrific agencies and ministries in this city that are doing something that we know matters to you. And we're behind that because we know it matters to you and we see the goodness of what they're doing. And what we pray for, God, we pray that you give them strength. We pray that you just encourage them and that you give them vision and energy and that you bring others alongside them that help carry forward the beautiful thing that they're doing because what they do matters. And we pray all of this in your son's name. Amen. Have a great morning. See you next Sunday.